Okay, we begin with Mizmor Zayin. Mizmor Zayin begins with the word Shigoyon LeDavid Asher Shor LaHashem Al Divrei Chush Ben Yimini. This Mizmor describes David HaMelech is based on a confession. There's a confession. David HaMelech was on the run. He was running away from Shaul. So at one point in time, we have to really go through some of the more details. Unfortunately, I didn't really prepare adequately today. Not that I ever do, but today certainly not. But we'll go through the best that we can today. Then we'll pick up what we left out in the future. But basically, this Mizmar David is confessing a Shigoyon. I made a mistake. What was the mistake? I cut off the corner of the garment. I was mevaze the garment of Shaul HaMelech. When David HaMelech was running for his life from Shaul, because Shaul was overtaken by a ruach ra, we used to call him paranoid. Obviously, you can't say such words about a holy person of Shaul HaMelech. Obviously, there's depression. A lot of people today will come along and look at Tanakh and go and they'll describe what happened in Tanakh in terms, medical terms that we are familiar with today, and that's a very questionable type of approach to go and to say that Shaul was clinically depressed, and to say that if only we'd have given him a little medicine, it would have been a whole different story. We don't know. It's not so simple to talk like that. Obviously, these are
everyone's very depressed.
Everyone, you got it.
So anyone here not depressed?
That's
letting
you
see.
So
you're not depressed?
You find your seat, please, and sit.
Okay, that's a very dangerous, very dangerous avenue to go in and superimpose upon the Ishei HaTanach our frailties. These were extremely holy people. They lived. They are in a league by themselves, and it's not so simple. You have to be very, very careful. Chazal do tell us that we have to read what the words say. And the words are that David HaMelech, obviously he was on the run. Shaul HaMelech, for some reason, believed that David HaMelech was a Murid of Malchus, and he was, the Malchus of Shaul was departing, the Shechina was departing from Shaul, as being the Melech of Israel. Shmuel anointed him, and Shmuel told him he made two mistakes. There are two major mistakes that Shaul made. Number one, he was supposed to wait for Shmuel. Shmuel told him, you can offer a sacrifice in this location. I've got all the details already in this location, and you're going to wait for me. Gather all the people, get them all together, and we're going to bring a sacrifice to Hashem. Shaul obeyed, he gathered all of the people, and he said, we're not going to bring the carbon until Shmuel comes. And Shmuel was late, on purpose. Shmuel did not come. And there was enormous public pressure. People are busy, we have to go, offer the sacrifice now. And Shaul caved into public pressure. This was a test of Malchus. Malchus, a king, is always under enormous stress in all forms of Malchus to listen to the people. Like a democracy. That's what a democracy is. Democracy is you're elected by the people, do what the people want, not what you want. But that's not Malchus. Malchus is what the king wants, not what the people want. The king is trusted. There's an enormous amount of trust that people have in the king, that the king, even though public policy is what the king is about to do is very unpopular, yet there is an unspoken trust that the people have that if the king feels this is the right thing for the country, yes, we have faith in the king. This was the big test. Shmuel told Shaul, wait. Do not bring the carbon until I arrive. And he did, and he couldn't hold back. There was so much public pressure, he offered the carbon. And when Shmuel then came a little bit later, he said to him, I told you to wait for me. And you failed. It's a major, major failure in your Malchus. And that was strike one. And he almost lost it right then and there. And then the second major strike was when he told him, go to Milchama against Amalek and wipe out everyone, the men, women, children, and he disobeyed. He did not kill the king, he did not kill Agag, he delayed in killing Agag, he did not kill the women, the animals, he did not kill them, he did not kill these animals, all the details, and then Shmuel came and Shmuel said, you blew it, strike two, you're out. And that was the end. The failures. But now you'll go ask. But David, he made many mistakes. David made one mistake after another. So what's the chilik between David and Shaul? So there are different mahalchim. The popular mahalich is when David made a mistake, he immediately said chotasi. When Nathan Hanavi said to David, David, you took Bathsheba, you gave a mashal. What have you done? You took an ish, Uriah is her husband. And after the whole story, David immediately said, Chotosi, I have sinned. I made a mistake. There was no cover-up, Chotosi. Shaul, he denied wrongdoing. When he was confronted, he denied. Everyone makes mistakes. In Tzadik Bo'aretz Asher Yaseh Toiv V'lo Yecheto. There is no such thing as not making a mistake. The question is, how do you deal with the mistake? All of the big political figures in this country and in many countries all see their demise in one way, cover-ups. If Nixon would not have covered up what he did and would have confessed immediately, it would have been a very different presidency for him. I'm not even going to talk about all the different people, okay? All the transgressions. But all big politicians, they all are destroyed in the cover-up. In this country especially, we're very forgiving. In this country, if someone confesses immediately, and says, I'm going for therapy, it's a very good country, very, very forgiving. And because everyone's guilty of the same crimes. It's very forgiving. But you have to immediately say, Chotosi, and I'm going for therapy. That's the way this country works. And it's nothing new. David HaMelech. A sincere apology.
That's not the godly apology.
Sincere apology. That is what is...
I'm sorry if you were offended.
Right.
I'm sorry I got caught, exactly.
That's
more often than not.
I'm sorry I got caught. Like what I told you the legacy of Princess Diana. I told you many times, William, they had a yard site suitor for her. So what did William say of the guy who was maspid his mother? How many years is it? 20 years? Whatever it was. Recently, not long ago. So he was maspid his mother. So he says, his mother taught me, you can be as naughty as you wish. Just don't get caught. That's the legacy. Just don't get caught. Can you imagine such a legacy? And he's not even embarrassed to say this. In any event,
That's what the godless of Yehuda is.
Sotka Meni, he confessed.
That's
immediately.
Why Shevet Yehuda is loyal to Shevet Yehuda, because they always love
it. Excellent.
Allah,
you see, hit the nail on the head. So that we're going to look at the Mamash that he confessed. Immediately, Yehuda confessed. Sotka Meni. Loyal to Shevet Yehuda. He has the quality of Malchus not to deny wrongdoing. It's an amazing thing to acknowledge, yeah, I made a mistake. Did you ever hear a politician today say, I made a mistake? Never. Never, ever, ever hear such a thing. A politician today to say, we made a mistake. Adrava, stark in the Torah. When they make a mistake, they go full force in the same direction, brute force to show that I'm still right. Okay, that's propaganda. That was Hitler's Yesoid. Hitler, Yemachshav Avitzro, the greater the lie, the more people will believe it. That was his principle. The greater the lie, Hitler. Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, the propaganda of the Nazi Germany was, the greater the lie. You say a little lie, they're going to say it's not true. You say an outrageous lie with tekifos, people will believe it. And they'll create a whole new reality, a whole new world in their mind, a reality in order to do whatever you want, all the corruption and the evil you want to commit. Okay, that's the first mahalach. The second mahalach, as the difference between Shaul and David, is Shaul made errors in leadership. David made mistakes in his personal life. David's mistakes were personal. They were defects in in something personal, but not in the quality of leadership. Leadership, a leader has to be strong, has to be firm. Shaul made two mistakes in leadership. He was told to wait for the Navi to arrive, and the Tzibur put upon him enormous pressure. He couldn't hold out. He gave in to the pressure of the people against the command of the Navi. And the second example was he went to war against Amalek, and he was commanded in the Milchama, take no prisoners, show no rachamim. In war is war. You don't understand? How could it be that you should have no rachamonis upon women, children, and animals, and Nagag? That's not your department. War is war. The error was in leadership. David's mistakes were personal. He had a Yetzirah, with Bathsheba. These are not errors that affect the nation as a whole in his koyach of leading Klal Yisrael. Now here, when David was on the run from Shaul, Malchus was taken away from him. Shmuel returned him and told him, "That's it. You've made two mistakes. You're no longer the Melech, and the Malchus is going to be removed from your hands, and it's going to be given to an Ish that's better than you." David, Shaul could not deal with this. This affected Shaul in a very, very, very powerful way, and he viewed David to be a Moed B'Malchus, and he chased after David. At one point in time, Shaul was sleeping, and David saw what was going on. He secretly entered into the camp of Shaul, and he cut the corner of the garment of Shaul. He cut off his tzitzis, and he took it with him, and he later displayed it to him. Look, I could have killed you. I could have put an end to all this by just killing you, and I didn't. So don't stop chasing after me. So David later came to confess that was a mistake. That was not derech eretz to cut off the corner, the cloak of Shaul, and to use that as a way of musar to Shaul to stop chasing after me. And David here confesses with the word shigoyon leDavid. I made a mistake. And here it says asher shor laHashem. He sank. The ability to say to Hashem, Chotosi, I made a mistake, that is something you can sing about. That is a quality that is so beautiful that a person is able to publicly confess and acknowledge his sins. Like Rabbi Eski said, his ancestor was Yehuda. That's something that you can talk and sing about. You can sing a song if you have that koyach to say, I made a mistake. Go look in the news today. You will never, ever see a politician say, I made a mistake. Never. They'll spin their crimes and their major errors with eloquence and conviction, and you name it. You just have to watch some of these press conferences. It's just remarkable
how lie like a rug.
What?
Or just lie like a rug.
It's unbelievable. There's nothing to sing about. That's sheker. To be able to admit to the MS, this is something that you can sing LaHashem al divrei chush. Who are we referring to? Chush ben yimini. Let's hear right with the mitzvah David. Chush ben yimini shigol David his father b'zeh al hashgia. He over here right with the mitzvah tells us the context of this mizmar. He prayed. Okay, over here for some reason the mitzvah David is taking the word shor. I don't know why, and he's really transforming it into a prayer, not into a song. This is Psalms. These are only songs. But over here, for some reason, the Mitzvah David says this is a tefillah. So basically, he's translating the word shor as a prayer, even though the Mitzvah Siyot, he himself says, that's Lashon of Shira, with regard to what? Al Hashri, on the error. Masha Koras Kanaf Mi'il Shol, he cut off the corner of the garment of Shol. Who is Shol? Shol here is called Chush ben Yimini. Now, Yimini, we know, is Binyamin. Ish Yimini Hoyot B'Shushan Habira, Ushma Mordechai. Yimini is Binyamin. Binyamin is called the Yimini. Zer Shol Habam Binyamin, who called Chush. Why is he called Chush? Ki Hoyot B'Shuneh B'Masaf. He was like, Moshe was married to an Isha Chushis. So what does that mean? An Ethiopian woman, she was black? Is that what it means? Some say, yeah. Some say the Klaish, they went to Milcham against the Chushim. And the rule of war in those days was the winner gets the queen, gets to marry the queen. the most beautiful land. That was the rules of war in ancient times. So Moshe Rabbeinu, they went to Muhammad against the Kushim at some point in time when they were traveling in the desert, and the Bnei Yisrael prevailed. And the way you surrender is you give over the queen. The queen was the Chushis, and it was given to the leader, to the general, to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one pshat. Others say that's not the pshat. Others say Chushis. Chushis just means he was married. Tzipora. Tzipora was called Chushis, and she was called Chushis. Like what it says over here in this Mitzvah David, someone who's black is unusual. He looks unusual when he's surrounded by white people. Wow, I'm a racist, right? Okay, but that's what it says. That's what it says over here, that if your environment are white and there's someone in the audience who is black, so he looks different. He's mishuneh. So therefore, here it's used in a positive sense. Shaul was mishuneh. He stood out. Mishichmoy ulamala. He was taller. Now, what does it mean? It means his maisim toivim, his purity, his righteousness stood out much more so than everyone else in, from his peers in the nation. And that's why we call him a chush. Again, the mitzvah says, Shaul haba mim yamin, we call him a chush, yod mishuneh b'masav l'shevach. Kakushi hazeh, like a kushi, a black person, ha-mishuneh b'oiro, who's skin color is different from other people in this circumstance. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Shigun, yeah.
Because it's Kish.
Yeah.
Kush, but
Kish. Abenish and Kish. It's
Shaul.
Okay, so his father's name
is Kish. One is a Kush, one's a
Kush. Okay, I hear. Okay, we have that sometimes. Okay. Time over here says, the love of the Shrach, the love of the Dama Shrach,
Bar Kish,
so look, the Targum, right, it's very important. Okay, so he said, let's finish the Rashi, we'll come back to the Targum. He's saying very good. We hear the Targum over here says that what Kush really is Kish. His father's name was Kish. The Shol Bar Kish with a Kuf. Okay, the Kuf and the Chav can be interchanged. And the Vav.
The Vreze have Ben Shem.
Is he actually trying to say maybe that it's a Tov Sofrim?
No, definitely not. No, we don't say that. You don't say it right now.
Colonel,
we haven't seen him in a while. I have to go check. He hasn't been online in a while.
Maybe he went to school.
It's good you reminded me. Wherever he goes, he always comes online. We have to find out what happened. Okay, Rabbi Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen. Shlita, we have to find that. I haven't seen him in a while. The chen pei rash al shvut kavod v'yishu gul menachas. Now look at the Rashi. Rashi b'r maslo shigul david menachin pasah shagam ze echad mishmois hazemer al shem hakli. So Rashi right away disagrees. He disagrees with his entire Rashi. Rashi until the other pshat in a few moments. Rashi over here tells us first interpretation that over here this refers to, this is one of the names, this is one name of a musical instrument. Shigoyon le David. The word Shigoyon is the name of a zemer. It is a certain type of song which is meant to be played, meant to be sung using a certain unique type of musical instrument. And there is a precedent for this in Chavakuk. Menachem Pasa Shagam Zechem Mishmois HaZemer in the Rashi Al Shem HaKli. They were doing Mizmor Zayin, Pasuk, page 50. Al Shem HaKli V'chein Perish Al Shigoyonis in Chavakuk.
Yeah.
That's the Haftarah of Shavuos. Okay, Shig Yoinois. What does it mean, Shig Yoinois? It's the name of a musical instrument. But I was saying, so therefore, fine. So therefore, this is the first interpretation of Rashi. Shigoyon LeDavid. David over here is now singing a song, and a zemer. There are many, many names for a song, a psalm, and this is one of the multiple names. And the reason why we use this particular name is because it's an indication for the conductor and for the singer that you shall sing using a very specific musical instrument that will bring out the flavor of the song, and the flavor will be brought out with it brings a certain mood, and that's what it means. Now. The Chay now goes for the Rabbi Say new parish. Now he goes what it says over here. It says over here regarding something similar to what it says in the Mitzvah David. Lashon Mishke, a mistake, an error. What was the error? Shenis vado. David here is confessing. Venis palel. And he is praying to Hashem for forgiveness. Al hashigo yoin. Now, see, I told you a little bit of a drush. But let's learn over here. Rash is very precise. He's confessing to Hashem that how could it be that when this, it's not what the Mesudah stuff it says, it's different tekufa. Venis palel al hashigo yoin sheomar shira. Alma Palosa Shel Shaul. When Shaul died, David said, Baruch Hashem, ah, my enemy is no longer. He sang a song to Hashem, thanking Hashem for the defeat of Shaul. David now reflects later in life, that was a terrible thing that I did.
Did he say
Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach? Who is it? It says a Mishle, I think it says it. Who the Shlomo said that? I'm not sure if I remember. So bin fol oivecha al tismach. But over here, you know, who? Why do you call him oivecha? Over here, he's trying to kill him. Shaul is trying to murder him unjustly, and David now at the time David sang shira. He thanked Hashem that my enemy has been defeated. He's gone. Now David later in life is reflecting. Mashiyase hazman lo yaseh. Mashiyase hazman lo yaseh hasechel. That time, when you reflect upon events later in life, they're very different than when they're happening in real time. In real time, a person is young, he's immature, he doesn't see the big picture, he's upset, he doesn't appreciate, doesn't fully comprehend what's happening. Later in life, hindsight is 20/20. You look back and he sees over here that the event is not the way he saw it at that time, and now he's reflecting. Okay, it says there when he died, David over there, he said over there different words of expressions of praise to Hashem. Now, even though this word, Rabbi Sin Rashi, is very critical. Rashi, Rabban Shel Yishol is very critical of Rabbi Seinu. Our teachers, Rabbi Sin, they interpret this mizmor the way he just said. He's thanking, he's coming, now David's coming to confess. I made a mistake when I sang a song to Hashem, when Kush ben Yimini, Shaul HaMelech was defeated. Divrei, Asher Shaul HaShem al Divrei. Now also, the word Divrei doesn't really fit according to this interpretation. What does it mean? David is saying, I made a mistake. That what was my mistake? That I sang to Hashem a song, al Divrei. What does it mean, Divrei? Maybe it means
the subject
of Kush ben Yimini. Or maybe they told me that he died. They told me, I confess. But Rashi says when you go further in the Pesukim of this Mizmor, when you're going to see that the words do not conform to this interpretation. And therefore he disagrees. Because if you go look in this Mizmor, Hashem Yodin Amin, we're going to see that this Mizmor discusses things that relate to the nations of the world that have nothing to do with Shaul. Therefore, Rashi is bold. The Oimer Ani. Whenever Rashi says Va'imer Ani, you should stop. It's like a major stop sign. It's stop, take a deep breath. If Rashi is presenting his own chiddush, it's not so common. Count the number of times throughout Rashi's commentary. Take your computer, just type in all of Rashi's works. Va'imer Ani. How many times does Rashi come along and say, let me tell you what I think? 99% of what Rashi puts in writing, it's tradition. It's what his Rebbein taught him. It's Mesorah. This, when I was in the Chedi, we learned the Gemara. This is the way the Rebbe taught us. And then, you know, maybe he heard from someone else. He saw someone else say a little bit different. Rashi doesn't often tell you his personal interpretation, his Chidushim. That's not what Rashi is in the business. You know, in yeshivas, the biggest problem we have today in yeshivas is in the elementary school, is almost all of the elementary school Rebbeim are frustrated Rashi yeshiva. They all had this dream to be the Gadol Hadar and to give a Shir Klali every day for 3 hours, giving over the most complicated Divrei Torah you can imagine. Nu, Parnasa. Amcha Yisrael Tzricha Parnasa. They need a job. They need to support their family. Guess what? They got an offer to be a third grade Rebbe. A third grade Rebbe doesn't teach the children Reb Chaim's. He doesn't teach the Rebbe Brisket Torah. You know, this is not what they're supposed to be doing. He's supposed to just teach them, you know, the basic. But what happens? They're frustrated. This is not what I want. So they try to sneak in a Reb Chaim. They try to sneak in some Tifa Brisket Torah. Chesem, the Gavra. You're teaching third graders. That's not what you're hired to do. Very frustrating. You don't go tell them your own chidushim. The Oimer Ani. Ra'ashi is Rosh Tevis, the Rabban Shel Yisrael. He is a teacher for Klal Yisrael. He's not in the business of telling you his own chidushim. So when Rashi says the Oimer Ani, you have to stop and pause. The Oimer Ani Shamorei Al Iske Yishbi Binoiv. And what does this refer to? This refers to the story. Rashi explains Shabo Olav Al Oinshoy. No. This refers to the Yishbi Binoiv is the Maiso of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Yishbi is the, I think it means the settlement of Noiv. Let's read a little bit further. I didn't prepare too well here. Let's read a little bit further. Shabo olav al oinshoy shel shol k'mo sheperish Rabbi Seinu shomu l'kodesh baruch hu al yodcha nitrag, because the end of the part is what we need, nitrag doik v'adoimi al yodcha nerag shol ubonov k'di isa b'chelik sheneos David l'kodesh baruch hu. David wanted, where neos means he desired, shlihimoser b'yat soinei David wanted to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should deliver him in the hands of Shaul, and that would be a kapara, that his children should not die. Let's read a little bit further. V'hofach David as the philosopher of Ispalo Shlo Yipol B'yad Oyev. V'chein Pishroyinoy. Let's read a little further, we'll come back. Mishke, there was a mistake. Shor David LaHashem Al Sheshogag Loimar Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Moisroi Biyad Oye, that he should be delivered in the hand of Shaul, al divrei Shaul Shenerag al Yodai. Okay, Dover Oliver Dover Acher al there's another interpretation, Shigin, that's a little interpretation. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this refers to the story of Noiv Irakohanim. Noiv Irakohanim, what happened with Noiv Irakohanim? David ran away for his life. David was starving to death. David did not have any weapons and did not have any food. And in addition, there was a famine in the land. He went to Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, the city of Noiv. That's where the Mishkan was stationed at this point in time. And he told the people there that I'm starving to death and I'm on the run from Shaul. They had Rachmanis upon him. They gave him food. What did they give him? The lechem upon him. What else? They gave him a weapon. The weapon of Goliath. Goliath. David was in fact the one that killed Goliath. And then what happened? And then they gave it to him. And David survived. Shaul found out. I think Doeg went and found out what happened. And Doeg HaDoimi was David's enemy. He went to Shaul and he told Shaul that the people in Noiv Irak Hanim, they went and they supported David. So Shaul says, "You all of you people here in Noiv, you're all married b'malchus. You are supporting, you're harboring a terrorist. You're all supporting a terrorist. David, they consider David to be his enemy, enemy number one, enemy of the state. And you, Noiv, Ir, HaKoyhanim, are supporting my enemy." So Shaul came and he killed. He wiped out the entire city, Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Now, did David do anything wrong? No, he did absolutely nothing wrong. But yet David was indirectly responsible for their death. And then that caused another problem. That caused a problem with the Givonim. The Givonim were the people that had Parnassus support. They were the people that provided water, fuel, energy, and they supply them with services. And now that the city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim was no longer existed, they lost their parnasa. And they lost their parnasa, they were very, very bitter. There's nothing more bitter. You can look on the news. So many people today have lost their jobs for all different reasons. And they blame people. And the people, when they lose their job, there's no bitterness in this world like the bitterness of someone that had a job who spent their entire life working to earn a living, to work his way up the ladder of parnasa, and then someone comes along and fires him for what a person feels is an unjust reason. The bitterness, you listen to these people, how they talk, the bitterness is second to none. And the people of Givoyim, the Givoyim, their bitterness in having lost their parnasa was second to none. Ad kidei kach, that there was a plague, there was a terrible plague that Hashem listened. It's a very frightening thing to learn from this story, that because of what happened, there was a terrible magefa that came upon the people, that came upon Klal Yisrael, and David HaMelech was shoyel, I think from the Urim Tumim, why is this happening? Why is there a magefa? Why is there a terrible dever? And they said it's because the people, these are goyim, the Givoyim are bitter because they lost their parnasa for no good reason. And David went to the Givoyim and he said to them, what could we give you to appease you? So they said, we want the blood of the family that is responsible for this. We're not going to be satisfied until these people are hung up. And David gave over the children of Shaul, and they were executed, and they were hung on a tree. It's a very, very shocking, bizarre story. And David was to blame for all of this. David he didn't do anything wrong, chas v'shalom, David was involved in this. David was the one that was the catalyst of how this entire thing came about. Not my fault. What did I do? What's my problem? A person, you know, he's horrible stories. A person is walking across the street. He doesn't look. The light. It says don't walk. He doesn't look, and he walks across the street. And then there's a car coming down. The car sees this guy, Meshugam, he's walking across the street, and it says don't walk. And the car has a green light. He doesn't want to kill him. He can't stop on time. So he swerves. And in the process of swerving, what does he do? He makes a mistake and he goes and he crashes into another car. And that car goes and that car spins and crashes into another car. Another car. And then there's a person walking on the sidewalk. On the sidewalk, that gets caught and gets part of the collateral damage. And the guy who's walking across the street, nothing happens to him. Nothing happens to him. So this person is walking, and all these people are injured or they die. Who is the cause of this whole tzara? The person that was walking across the street when it said don't walk, and the car had the right of way, he is the cause. Did I do anything wrong? Did I kill anyone? I didn't kill anyone. It was the person driving who swerved, and he banged into another car, who in turn banged into another car, and ended up killing all these people. But the person walking across the street is the catalyst of this entire thing happening. And he has to live with that guilt for the rest of his life. He was this direct siva of what happened. So David HaMelech is the same thing. David HaMelech, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Someone's trying to kill me. I mean, you can't, it's not even because the person that walked across the street was not allowed to do that. But in this case, this David, I'm in hot pursuit. Someone's trying to kill me. So I go and I'm starving. Did I go and I run into this place over here to Noiv Yerkahadim? I ask them for food. They give me the lechem upon him because there's no other food available, and they give me a weapon. And because of that, David Doye Koa Doyemi goes and he tells Shaul, you know what's going on over here? You know what's going on over here? The whole city is rebelling against you. They're harboring a terrorist. So Shaul says, kill them all. And then there's a whole ripple effect. Kills them all, and then the Givoyim don't have Parnasa. So then they also have Tainus. Who's the cause of this whole thing? Who? David. So David over here says, I'm the cause of this. That's called the Yishbi Benoif.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin has the whole story with Yishbi. Rabbi Yishlam came to David and said, you have a choice. Why destroy your children? Or you, I'll get you.
Says, right, so that's part of the story.
So he chased at the end of the night, and Yishbi is the brother of Goliath. And Yishbi captured David and was going to kill him.
So I'm telling you the wrong story?
Yeah, and he put him under a base of body, put him under the weight of a press.
All right, so we have to go back and review the whole story. I made a mistake then. Dvarim shamarti tos hem biyadi. We have to go back to the right story. I thought this was the story. I thought this was the story. I made a mistake here. Okay, so Belina, tomorrow we're going to go over the story. We're going to review the story for homework. I have to review the story for homework. Go over and tell you the correct story. Yishli b'noim shabolav al oin shoy shel shaul. Yishli b'noim, the mice of Yishli b'noim came. We're going to review this tomorrow, this point. I'm sorry.
The punishment that Hashem made him fall into the hands of Yishli, and Avishai saved him.
All right, so I'm all mixed up. Then. I've made an error. Shigoyon. No, I made a mistake then. Sheba alav al oin shay shel shaul kumoy sheperish rabbi seinu shamar lo yakadosh baruch. I'm now on the left column. Al yodcha nitra doyek. David, you did a lot of things. A lot of things happened because of you. Nitra doyek wadomi. Al yodcha nerak shaul banof. It was because of you that Shaul and his children were killed. Kid isa bechelak. Sheneo is David lakadosh baruch li mosse biat soine. Vlo yichle zaroi. David, because David was responsible, he was the catalyst of all of these things happening, David said, better I should be delivered in the hands of Shaul, and as an exchange, my children will not suffer. So therefore, when it says the word, he calls, how does he refer, he calls Shaul an Oyev.
This is all for Shaul. But he said, "My enemy shouldn't kill."
The chain pisroin. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Right? Mishke, a mistake. Shor David Hashem al shogag loyma laKadosh Baruch Hu. He made a mistake by saying laKadosh Baruch Hu lemoisroi biyad oyev al divrei shol shenerak because of what happened to Shaul. All right, we're gonna have to go back to this. I'm sorry. We'll go back to this tomorrow. Dover Acher, the third interpretation. Al shigyon kenaf hamiil asher koras lishol. That is exactly what the mitzudes David selected. He cut off his corner. Kush ma kushi mishuneh be'oroi af shol mishuneh b'ma'asav. Exactly what it says in the mitzudes David. Why is Shaul called Kush? His father's name was, as it says in the Targum, was Kish with a kuf, not a chof, not a vav, but a yud. It's because he was mishuneh in his righteousness.
Which
okay.
Is the same interpretation for Sipalu.
Right. The Isha Hakushis Asher.
Unusually
beautiful. Unusually beautiful. Okay, let's now go to the next verse. Let's see. Hashem Elokai, Becho Chosisi. Hashem Elokai, Hashem, my God, in you I have taken refuge. I have put my confidence. Hosheini Cholot Fai, save me from all my enemies. Hoshieni, Nicole wrote my those who pursue me, the Hatsileni. There are two words here used in this passage. There was Hoshieni and Hatsileni. Two different expressions. Look at the Mitsubis David. Pasik, there is no Mitsubis, so look at, and there is no Rashi either. So look, there is a Rashi here? Okay, the Radak. Okay, Radak Hashem, Elokai Vachachasisi, in you Veloy be Ezras Adam. Okay, let's go further. We have to come back and see what the Malbim. The Malbim, we explain the difference in these two. Yes, the two words. Look at the Malbim. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim in the Be'er Hamilas. Hoshi'eni v'hatzileni ha'hatzala moisif al ha'yeshua. Ha'hatzala is more than Yeshua. Shagam kishuvu b'yad ho'yev yatzilim miyado. So it seems what he's saying over here is Hoshia is not to get caught. Hatzala means even when you are already caught, you are already in their claws to be released. Hatzala is a greater degree of salvation. Ona Hashem Hoshiyana. Ona Hashem Hatzlichana. Okay, we say this in the Halal. It's a very good passage for the Halal. So what is the difference between saying on Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Hatzlichana, on Hashem Hatzlichana? So what does it say in the Malbim? The Malbim says that Hoshia, Hoshieni is, I should not get caught. The enemy is chasing after me. Hashem save me that I should not get caught. Hatzlocha is when I'm caught. I'm already caught. And now I need to be released, you're in a lot of trouble. Then you're really in a lot of trouble.
It's like preventive and curative.
Right, preventive. Yeshua is preventive. Hatzlacha is curative. When you return, we all know that when you shake the Luv Neshul, so you shake it for On Hashem Hoshiyana, but you don't shake it for On Hashem Hatzlichana. Hatzlichana. Right? When you shake the Lulav and Eshek, so you only shake it there four times in Halo, only the first Hoshiyah, but not. So first I'll tell you the famous word from Rav Chutner. What does he say? There was once a boy that came to him, and the boy, and he said, I'm leaving the yeshiva. Why do you want to leave the yeshiva? Because, are you learning? Yeah, I'm learning very good. Baruch Hashem, learning good. But I think in the other yeshiva, I'll learn even better. Shafuddin said to him, you know, when you shake the Lulav and Eshek, you only shake it On Hashem Hoshiyana, but you don't shake On Hashem Hatzlichana. Why? If you're not learning at all, you're just battling, then you have to shake Hoshiyana. Hoshiyah, he's told him, you need a real salvation. You need to go to another yeshiva. You got to do something. You got to move. But if you're learning, and you only want to learn more Hatzlacha, then stay put. Don't run away to another yeshiva. In other words, Rav Chutner, he understood Hoshiyah means to do something drastic. Hatzlacha means just more of the same. Expand the scope. I want to start a new business. That's called On Hashem Hoshiyana. If the business is doing well, you just want to take the business to the next level. You want to go to the next level. That's called Hatzlacha.
We'll be
more successful. So shaking is symbolic of On Hashem Hoshiyana. You're doing something drastic. We're going to risk a lot of money by opening up a new business. A boy that's not learning at all. So we need to send him to the right yeshiva. You have to go. You have to go to Sanifa. You have to shake. You got to do something very violent, very traumatic. But if the person is doing well, you're making a parnasa. You want to go make $2 million. You're making already $1 million. You want to make $2 million. You want Hatzlacha to go to the next level. That you don't shake. That do very calmly, patiently. You have to be very careful what you do. That's not what the Mitzvah does. That's not what the Malam is saying. The Malam is saying something entirely very, very different. And it's very interesting. How are you going to fit it into the Shingle of Vanesha? The Malam is saying something, On Hashem Hoshiyana, is when I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught. Then you need salvation. But if you're already in a lot of, you've already been caught, you're already in prison, you're already in the claws of your enemy, and now you need to get out, that's when you need Hatzlacha. So it's interesting, how would that fit into the Shegel of Neshek? I do not know. Hatzlacha Moisev al Yeshua Shagam Keshubiyat Ha'oyev, even when you're locked in, Yatzilehu Miyadoy. Interesting. We'll go analyze all different examples in Tanakh where you have these two words come together and try to fit in with the perish of the Malm. I'll just tell you, there, Hagam, very, when we're talking about going to another yeshiva, this Vard is a Vard which made a very profound impression on me. And I told this to some people, and they also, some people, I told this to two Rosh Yeshivas, I told this to. And they both they were visibly shaken up when I told them this Vart. There was a boy who went to Rav Chutner, and he said to him, this is what the way they say of the story, if it's true or not, I don't know, but it sounds very true. And we have over here a Talmud Rav Chutner, can tell me if it's true or not. A boy went to Rav Chutner and said to Rav Chutner, I'm leaving the yeshiva. Goodbye. Thank you very much. It was a wonderful experience here. I'm moving on. Where are you going? So he told him where he's going. So Rav Chutner said to him, I know why you want to go to that yeshiva. I know why. Because the Roshiva there, he gives a better share than me. I know, it's true. I know he does. He gives a better share. That Rosh Hashiva, he stays up the whole night to understand the Pshat and the Rambam. He struggles, he toils the entire night. He burns the midnight oil to know good Pshat, good Gelernt, the Pshat and the Rambam. I don't do that. I don't lose sleep over the Rambam. I confess, my shear is not on that level. But I'll tell you what I do. I do stay up the whole night. I also stay up the whole night. I stay up the whole night to learn Pshat in my Talmidim. I learn a horava to know the Pshat in my Talmud, my students. to know where they're holding in life and where they need to go and what they need to do and what's good for them and what's not good for them, and for me to give them the right hadracha. So I want to let you know, you're going to another yeshiva, you're going to get a better shir, but you're not going to get a better madrach, a person that's going to think about you and care about you and work to make sure you grow and develop in a way that will be to your ultimate success.
I don't know why the two are mutually exclusive. Why you can't do both?
What?
Why do yeshiva can't do both?
You can't do both. That's life. Life, you look over and over. Everything in life is a trade-off. That's the way I showed you this world. You cannot have everything. That's another word from our footman. When he would interview a Talmud, he would take the Musaf of Yom Noyoran. You look at the article marks, they have, even have it there. That when you say in the Kedusha, Ayei Mekoyim Kivoydoi.
Yeah, hi, my name is Philip Friedman.
Okay, when you say Ayei in the Musaf, in the Kedusha of the Yomim Noyoran, in the Musaf and the Machzor, the minute used to be that the Shliach Tzibur would sing the melody, and when he would sing that melody, the people in the Tzibur would recite a Yehi Ratzon, and in the Yehi Ratzon there are choices.
Right.
You can either be Mespal for Parnasa. Choice one is Parnasa. Choice two is for children. Choice three is Ruach HaKodesh. You know which one Meir was himself. Ruach HaKodesh. So he would say to a new boy who was applying to enter into the yeshiva, tell me, it's past Yom Kippur, Rosh Yom Kippur, which one will you misspell? In the Ayei, 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 in the Ayei. So, and you know, he would stump the boy. And that would open up a conversation. What's really important in life? Parnasa, Bonin, Ruach HaKodesh. So what's the obvious question? Who's stopping you? Being mispalel for all three. Who's stopping you? Pray for all three. The Shliach Tzibur will sing the melody another time. You'll chaper in all three. What's stopping you? The answer is, no. In the Nusach HaTfilah, it says select one. You only can have one. Why does it only say one? Why does the Nusach HaTfilah instruct you to only have one? The answer is, that's part of the lesson. You can't expect to have everything. Life is about making decisions. You have to focus on a priority. What is your priority? You can't have everything. If the Rebbe is going to stay up the whole night trying to understand the pshat in his Talmud, he's not going to be able to stay up the whole night trying to understand the Pshat in the Rambam. And if you're going to stay up the whole night learning Pshat in the Rambam, you're not going to be able to know Pshat in the Talmud. That's the way life is. You can't have everything. Torah, that's the problem with our generation. Our generation, everyone wants everything. To be a Rosh Hashiva, you have to also be a multimillionaire. If you're a multimillionaire, your mind is very busy with your money. There's no such thing as having a lot of money and having Yishuv Hadas to learn the Daf Gemara. It's impossible. If you have a lot of assets and a lot of money tied up in all different investments and business running this, wheeler and dealer in real estate and dealing with all these things, you don't have time to learn. It's baloney. It's total baloney. You say, oh, this guy, he learns a half a day and he works half a day. He's the biggest Talmud Chacham in the whole Lakewood, and he's also the richest man in the whole Lakewood. He's a Sheker of a Chacham. Either he's Taka, the richest man in Lakewood, or that automatically means he's not the biggest Talmud Chacham.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Master of none. There's no such thing as having anyone that tells you, oh, he's the tremendous Talmud Chacham, and it's a gevir, it's baloney.
Well, it depends. If you inherited it, you don't have to work for it.
Okay.
You still have to worry about it.
Which is usually the best.
A lot of the Rishonim, who, or even a lot of the Afronim, who made it big, that wrote, they were very wealthy people. That's why they didn't need the Shtela. They wrote them, the Marsha, the Rav.
Yochid Bedoyroy.
No, a lot of that. The Ron, all these
he didn't
people
over
loaded.
A thousand years. He didn't
these
over
people
that.
Were loaded. They didn't have to rely on anything because they had money in the bank that was...
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah,
obviously there are exceptions.
They didn't have to work for it.
There are exceptions.
Yeah.
But B'derech Chal, the Mitzias is, you can't have everything.
Anyway, right. his Rebbe was famous. Was famous for
understanding
shaping
Talmudim.
Who it was? Like,
okay, pass the gimel. Rabbi, let's go pass the gimel. Pen Yitzrayf Ka'ari Nafshi. Okay, so over here, obviously over here, David Ovi. If we're going to learn, let's just learn for the moment. Let's learn over here that David Melch over here is singing a song. He's describing what happened with him and Shaul. Shaul pursued him. Shaul tried to destroy him. He chased after him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him from Shaul. Pasuk Gimel, Pen Yitrov Ka'aryeh Nafshi. He's afraid. He was afraid that his neshama will be ripped apart like a lion. Hoyrek ve'ein matzil. Mitzudah is, what does it mean the word parek? Mitzudah means inyan shavira. He would break. Parek means to break and have and ve'ein matzil, and the lion attacks. There's nothing. No one can save you from the lion. What does it say over here in the Mitzvah David? Prikasol. Okay, the very good. The pre excellent. Prikasol is kabolas. There's kabolas ol malchus shemayim, and then there's some that's poirek oil, not pikoris. And what is the poirek oil from on the mark? Is you break off. You remove the yoke. You break the yoke from upon you. Mitzudah is David, Pen Yitrayv, Kishaloi Toshieni. If you, Hashem, would not have saved me, I would have been Yiskaber Olai, or the enemy would have prevailed upon me, Pen Yitrafeni Ka'ariyin. Parek Yishaber Oisiv Loi Emsamat Silti Kulam Kamolai. All of my enemies have come upon me. We look over, it says in the Rashi, Parek Lashon Parku Nizme Hazachav. That's not what the Mitzudah is David. It means they removed. The men took off their earrings and gave the earrings to the Egel. In the time of Mat Yitzias Mitzrayim, men wore earrings. Would you believe this?
Yeah.
Men wore earrings and nose rings. And the men first said to the women, "Can you give us your jewelry for the Egel Hazav?" The Noshim said no. So the men had no choice but to take off their own earrings. And it says in the Pasuk, Paruku Nizme Hazahav Me Alehem. The men took off, they removed the nose rings of gold that were on from upon themselves, the earrings and their nose rings, they took it off. So here you see the word, like in Rehobel, you said that the pyrek oil, pyrek oil. So there, it doesn't really mean to break, it means to take off, to remove. The Mitzudas David says to break. There's a very big difference between removing and breaking. So go back to this pasuk. Pen Yitrayv Ka'aryeh Nafshi. I'm afraid that my enemy will rip to shreds my neshama like a lion. Hoyrek ve'ein matzil. Now, according to Rashi, what does that mean? He will take down. He will remove my neshama and ve'ein matzil, and there will be no one that will be able to save me. What does that mean? What does it mean that the neshama will be nifrak? It will be removed from the guf. Muharra, that's what it means. The neshama will be taken out of the guf. First it says it will be ripped, Yitrev is ripped to shreds. Ripped to shreds is such a thing, and a neshama is ripped to pieces? Well, maybe it is. We don't see this pasuk is very interesting because we don't really know how what a neshama is. We already mentioned many times that a neshama has five parts. Anyone remember the five parts? There is the nefesh, the neshama, what is, I forgot all the different, I forgot the five different terms. A neshama, there are five different components to the neshama. Five different expressions used to describe a neshama.
I think
kavod. Kavod, yeah, is that one of the words? Okay, whatever it is, a neshama has many components. So here it says, Pen Yitrev Ka'ari Nafshi, perhaps we can suggest that this means that when the person is alive, all of the components of the neshama are all unified. They're all in one location. When a person dies, these components of his neshama are separated. You have a mekar for this. The Chazal said that by the Beis HaKvaros. In the Beis HaKvaros, one of the components of the neshama is hovering over the grave. And when a person comes to visit the grave, that component of the neshama communicates with the other components of the neshama in the other world and signals to them to come to this world to greet the visitor.
Who are you
first year?
I don't know. I have no idea how this works. Maybe on yard size, I have no idea how this works. But there's such a principle that when you go to a Beis HaChayim, so they say the neshama is really, they are told the neshama is in the Ilum HaEmes. What does it mean? So it says in different svarim, this is what it says. We're talking over here, just reading words, that the neshama is broken up into different parts after the person leaves this world. And the different components of the neshama go to different places. Yes?
I would say, I remember you learned once that 3 days before and 3 days after a person's yotzeh would not include
a right, the person who goes, so there is such a thing that the neshama comes that on the yard site, whatever this means, part of the neshama comes to the kever, comes back to this world to see what's doing. What that means, I have no idea. So it doesn't mean it comes only on that day. It comes during that tekufa, that zman. What is that zman? 3 days before, 3 days after. It comes for a week. A week! It comes to spend a week in this world to see what's doing in this world. So if a person cannot go to the kever on the yard site itself, bo bayom, because let's say it's Shabbos, or let's say it's Yom Tov, so there's no harm, you achieve the same thing coming 3 days before or 3 days after. That's what it says in the Sfarim. But what does it say also in the Sfarim? That the person's neshama is broken into different components, and different parts of the neshama go to different locations. And when a person goes to the kever, if there's a component that's there, it communicates with the other components, and they all come together, whatever that means. They also say there's a big machlokes in the Gemara. Where is it? It's a machlokes in the Gemara. Where is a person's neshama? Is it in his heart? Or is it in his brain? And this becomes halachically relevant when it comes to stem cell brain death.
Right.
The heart is still beating on its own to a degree, but the brain, according to our measuring instruments, is no longer functioning at all. It's as dead as can possibly be. But yet the heart, for whatever reason, is still beating. So does that mean the person has died? So everyone knows this is a very controversial topic, a very controversial subject. And really it's in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about to check the person's nose, to see if there's breath, which seemingly indicates that everything depends upon the heart, but then there's other sources in the Gemara which indicate that the death depends upon the brain, v'chulu v'chulu, and every Pesach, there is no clarity in this matter, and science has advanced today to a new level, where the earlier Pesach, when they passed upon this, today we have new instruments and new ways of measuring activity in the brain, and some claim that even the Poiskim that said years ago that as long as the heart is beating, the person is still alive, would admit today that it, based upon new information that we know, the new measurements, that they would agree that the person no longer is alive. Who is to say? We don't really know. So I once saw it written up that there are many components to the neshama, and who's not to say that in the Gemara, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's an element of the neshama that's in the heart, and there's an element of the neshama that's in the brain. And we think that everything has to be together. It's not necessarily so. The person's neshama is broken into different parts, and they all work together, just like the body. This holistic medicine. When you treat a patient, you don't just treat his foot. You treat his whole body. The problem with the foot is just a symptom of what's doing with the entire system. All the different parts of the body, they communicate together. It's the same thing with the neshama. All the different components, they all work together. So here I'm trying to suggest that when it says here in this pasuk, pen yitrev ka'arye nafshi, if you would say the Ari will rip me to pieces, I would without the word nafshi, I would say it's like taraf taraf Yosef. Okay, Yosef was ripped to pieces. It means his body. The body, an arm, a leg, a foot, a toe, a finger, the body was ripped to shreds. But it says here, nafshi, my neshama. That's not the body. So this fits very well into this concept that the neshama has many, many parts. And when the person is alive, all the components are located together in one area in the body itself. And when the person dies, the components of the neshama are ripped to pieces. And different parts of the neshama, they go different places and they communicate as a system. In computers today, this is a very big thing today in computers, in computing today, where you have many different components of a computer spread around. Everything's in the cloud today. Used to be years ago, you have a website. Okay, let's talk about the website, the Morning Call website. So years ago, what would you do when you have a website? You go and you buy a service. There is a computer somewhere in Arizona, a real computer, a supercomputer, and that's where you store your website. And when a visitor comes and he visits that where does he go? So he's directed to that specific computer somewhere in the basement in a football field buried in Arizona. That's where it's going to access all of the information, everything it possibly needs. Today, that's not the way it works anymore. Today, it's called cloud hosting. And what is cloud hosting? Well, the CPU may be in Brooklyn. The actual data is stored in Ohio. And the RAM is stored in another city. All the different components are no longer in one place. They're all spread out. They're spread out. And together, they provide for you a service. But nothing is centralized. And that's how you have the ability to expand, to wane and wax based upon your needs. You're not limited to the specific hardware that you have in your computer. I'm just using this for the data. I'm using this for the CPU. I can just switch a CPU to a different computer. It's an incredible concept. And that's really, you go look at the neshama, it's the same thing. The neshama has many components, and they're all over the place. And when the person's alive, they're centralized in one location. When the person's no longer living, this is what it says in Chazal. They're spread out. So, when the person leaves this world, the neshama is ripped to shreds. All the components are separated, and they all go back to their original location, and they communicate. They communicate like a modern system of computing today, where they all work together, but they're no longer centralized in one location, only when the person is alive and is in the group. And then when it says, the aim not seal. Okay, so what does that mean? According to the mitzvahs, it means it's going to be broken. By killing me, by taking the life, there's going to be a break. But according to the Rashi, that's not what it says. It means to be taken away, taken out, removed, taken down. Like the Chol pointed out, poirek oil. Pasuk Dalet, Hashem Elokai.
It's amazing what he says about the Aryeh. Before Melchemet Goliath, Shaul says, you cannot fight with him. He says, you know, gam et ha'ariyeh ve'et ha'dov. But Aryeh, la'akach seme ha'eder, and I saved this seme from the mouth of the Aryeh. Be'ezrat Hashem. Hashem helped me to do that. Now I am the seme.
I'm the one.
He sees himself as the
he, very good.
As the miskin career.
Fascinating.
And so he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know,
he has an appreciation of this. Fascinating. Okay. Kalman said that David, in his youth, he was a shepherd. And he witnessed firsthand, he was the one that protected the sheep from the lion. Now and he has he killed the lion. He was the one who protected the sheep. He was a shepherd. He's on the team, and he killed the lion. He did everything that he could possibly do. Now David sees himself as being the sheep, and there's a lion attacking him, but there's no one to save him. See, Chazal said all of the leaders of Klal Yisrael were shepherds. Why were they shepherds? So Yaakov was a shepherd, David was a shepherd, Moshe was a shepherd. All of the Manhige Yisrael were shepherds. Why? Training. It's the best training ground. It's a simulator. It's a simulation for leading Klal Yisrael. But what is the similar understanding? The understanding is what it means to be, it means to, you have sheep. You have to take care of the sheep. I'm the shepherd. So now when you become a leader, instead of the sheep, you have people. The people take the place of the sheep. The people take the place of the sheep. Yes, that's a very simple pshat. You know what the real pshat is? What Rav Kalman said. When you're a leader, you're the sheep. And all of your competitors and all of your peers and all of the people are the lions. A rabbi. Okay, when you become a rabbi, so what do you think? The rabbi leads his flock. The rabbi was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. Now he takes care of balabatim. Yeah, halavai, it should be like that. In the real world, the rabbi, in his training, he was a shepherd, and he saw the sheep. When he gets a job, he's the sheep, and the balabatim are the lions. And they're trying to rip him apart. And all of the other rabbanim They were also trying to rip off all of the leaders of the people. They're trying to rip the rabbi off. And the rabbi, oh, I have experience. I remember when I was a shepherd, I remember how that sheep was able to escape from the lion. So I have to now play the game of the sheep. Gevaldik, which Rav Kalman is saying, it's an amazing idea. Okay, let's say that. Hashem lukai, Hashem lukai, one pass, Hashem lukai, im asisi zos, im yesh avol b'chapoi. It's not fair. There's no meaning connected. Meet over here, look 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 im asisi, im kish asisi es zos, lichreis kenaf mil, shol, im yesh avol b'chapoi, hoim asisi v'la zos avol l'va zosai, l'amidu m'lubosh mi'il karu kiderch hapechusim. David here is coming to defend himself. According to the Mitzudai Stavit, the Mitzudai Stavit is going to the Shita Soi. When we started this, we mentioned there were three Perushim. One we have to come back to tomorrow, Yishu B'noiv. The third Perush was David, he cut off the corner garment of Shaul. He cut off the Mitzitz of Shaul. And David now realized that it was a lack of derech eretz. In fact, what do we know about this? What's the haftarah of Parshas Chaye Sara? Vayhi le'eis, in the old age of when David was old and his clothing did not provide warmth, so they brought Avisha Kashunanis. She was the sister, by the way, of the Isha Hashunanis. That's what it says in Chazal. Avishag Hashunamis was the sister of the woman Avishag Hashunamis, the Hanukkah miracle, right? Avishag Hashunamis is the Makar for Hanukkah. Elisha told her, do you have any oil in your home? She said, yes, we have one Pach Shemen. So she said, borrow Kalim and pour from that utensil into all of the other utensils. And the oil kept on flowing. That's the one of the Makaris, you know, that's a fascinating source. Chomer LeJush, the miracle of Hanukkah. Avisha Kashunamis. That was the Isha Hashunamis. No, I just made a terrible mistake. What did I just say? That's not, I'm sorry, that doesn't seem like that woman was. That woman is anonymous. The Isha Hashunamis was the next story, was the second half of the Haftarah.
Right at the beginning.
The Isha Shunamis was the second half of the story.
Oh, yeah,
but Shunamis said Avishag. Right, Avishag was the one that made for Elisha a cheder, a room.
Oh, you mean that.
She made a room, a bed, a mita, a keys, a table, and a kisei, and then two separate stories. There's a lot of interesting things out there, but right now. But okay, that's not important for us. But over here, we're focusing on David. When David HaMelech was old, David's clothing did not provide warmth. David was sick, he was cold. And they brought for him a warmer, Avisha Kashunamis. Chazal there on the pasuk tell us, why did she need this? Why couldn't they just give him another blanket? Put him on a winter coat? Thermal undergarments? And the answer is because David was choite regarding garments. David was mevaze, the beged of Shaul HaMelech. When David was running from Shaul fell asleep, David snuck in, he cut off his corner. That was a sin. That was not the proper thing to do, to damage the clothing of the Melech of Yisrael. And in punishment, when he was old, his clothing did not provide for him warmth. The role of a garment, there are three things a garment does. You learn from this pasuk, by the way, it's hard to analyze this pasuk. A garment does for a person three, you can study Chazal, study Tanakh. It provides three functions. Number one, it takes away shame. That's why it's called levush. Levush is an acronym for loy boish, no embarrassment. Person is naked, obviously he's a normal person with a brain in his head, he's embarrassed to be naked. So your person puts on levush, loy boish. What else does clothing do? It gives honor. L'chavoid ulesif ares.
It's a status symbol.
Status. A malchus, they wear clothing. Kohanim wear special clothing. Kohen Gadol wears clothing. Provides honor. What else do garments do? It provides.
Ksenis pasim is the same.
Because oh, very good. The ksenis pasim. So what exactly was the purpose of the ksenis pasim? What else does clothing do? It provides warmth. And that's what it says referring to the pasuk in by David. By he ke'ez ziknasai. The clothing did not provide. They did not provide warmth. Did not provide warmth. Three clothing provide three functions. So here, the Mitzudas David is focusing solely on the function of on this event of David cutting the garment of Shaul. And here he's come. David is coming to, so to speak, defend himself. And he said that I do this. Was really anything wrong with what I did by cutting his garments? I had no choice but to do this in order to persuade him, to show him that I have nothing against him. I could have easily killed him, and I did not kill him. Instead, I cut off his corner in order to show him to leave me alone. One more time, the words of the Mitzudos: Im asisi, im kishasisi, yezos lichvois kraf mi'il shol, im yesh avol dechapoy, huim asisiv lasos avol levazoysoy. Did I try to do this to cause him shame? So that notice here, this is very powerful. By damaging the garment of Shaul, what has David done? David caused him bezionas, because a garment is what gives a person l'chavoid u'sifaris. Okay, so what is the difficulty with what the Mitzvah just said? If that's what David did, why then when David was old, did the clothing not provide warmth? If the sin was bezionas, that does not relate to the punishment. Everything that comes from David is neither connected neither. If David later in his life would have been put to shame because of his clothing, then you would say there's a correlation between what David did to what happened to David. But David suffered from the fact that his clothing did not provide warmth because he was mevazeh the garment of Shaul. But that's not the same. That's not the same function. If David would have taken away his blankets, and David and Shaul would have been cold at night, would have been cold, then it would be a neither connected neither. But David didn't take away the warmth of Shaul. David damaged Shaul with regard to a different element of what the garment function of bezionas. Okay, garment provides three functions: honor, warmth, and takes away busha. David, by cutting off the corner of Shaul's garment, seemingly caused Shaul bezionas. You walk in shul and your suit is dirty, you have a big stain on your shirt, or your clothing is ripped, it's bezionas. Are you cold? I'm not cold. I'm hot, in fact. You can turn on the air conditioning. So if David, when he cut off the corner of Shaul's garment, he didn't take away warmth from Shaul. He caused Shaul bezionas. He now has damaged clothing. So you would expect that if David's going to be punished for this later in his life, the punishment would be that David would walk around in tattered garments. But yet Chazal say, what was the punishment? That when David was old, didn't keep him warm. My high. So if you want to say dush, you want to say wild dush, you'll say, Chazal say that why are we not allowed? Why are we not allowed to eat shiratzim? Why are the Jewish people not allowed to eat shiratzim? I forgot the exact words of the Gemara, but the Gemara tells us that because Jews are always doing mitzvahs, they get heated. Their body, they have high blood pressure, Jews. Jews have a tendency to have higher. I wonder if anyone did a study.
Right.
What is the average blood pressure of a Jew, of a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, a religious Jew versus a non-Jew? Chazal students say they have higher blood pressure or higher body heat because they're always worked up about did I have shachas? Is that mincha? Did I say today the same Talmud Levracha? Did I remember? Did I say Yal Yavo? No, Chanukah drives me crazy. All three in one day, I'm losing my mind. It's so Shabbos. You have to say Atuchanan Tanim. You have to say Al Hanisim, and the same Talmud Matan Levracha. You know how much what is, how worked up I get over that? How, you get over that? What?
And
Yalviyano. Yeah, you see everything again. Yalviyano. All these things. When David cut off the garment, what did he cut off? The tzitzis. He cut off the tzitzis. And what does it say about the tzitzis? Re'isim osa uzrahitim es kol mitzvois Hashem v'asisim osam. He took away his body heat. By David cutting off the tzitzis, he took away from Shaul the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs is what gives you warmth. It's what gives you your body heat. Your whole sipuk hanefesh in life is mitzvahs. David cut off the tzitzis. He passed his talus. That's what it says in Chazal. He cut off the garment, the corner of the garment. It says that he cut off the tzitzis. The tzitzis represents the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs, Chazal say this beferish, that the mitzvahs gives a Jew body heat.
He cut off the quarter, that he cut off his quarter from tzitzis.
Right, exactly.
But like fine. So for the next day when he woke up, he didn't have tzitzis. However you want to go learn it, but he took away from him tzitzis. And tzitzis represents all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. And Chazal said the person's body heat is generated because he's doyeg b'mitzvahs. A person is worried about doing mitzvahs, and that causes his body heat to rise. Now it makes sense. David viewed this as a sin. I took away from Shaul his body heat. How? I took away the reminder of his obligation to do the mitzvahs. Re'isem oisoy uzechartem es kol mitzvahs Hashem va'asisem oisam. Jews are doyeg b'mitzvahs. They worry about mitzvahs. And that causes them to get worked up. He took away his body heat.
But don't we say he was mavazed the beged?
That's what it says over here.
Mavazed the beged. And he got a bezoyin that he had to be put...
That his begadim did not provide body heat. A garment provides three functions. What then is the midah kineged midah? By the way, l'may nafkamina. The Gemara says, the Kohen Gadol went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yom Kippur, one of the years, he wore sheer clothing. The linen of the Dalet Binyan was so fine, you can see right through the clothing. You can see the Erva. So what's the purpose then of the clothing? Well, the clothing is L'chavoid U'L'Sifaris. Adam HaRishon before the Chet Eitz Hadas, the low yis boy shoshu. The Kodesh HaKodoshim is a mokoim that's equivalent to Adam HaRishon Lefnei the Chet Eitz Hadas. There's no need there for there to be busha. There's no busha. But there is still an element of lechavoid ulesefaris. So the nafkamina was the clothing that he wore in the Kodesh HaKodoshim was clothing which did not take away busha, but was still clothing that did provide covering and sifaris. All right, more about this tomorrow. Take a very short break. And I want to talk about a topic that I care for a lot, Kriya Shema. I want to tell you a very chiddush, and we have to build up to get to that chiddush by going through some of the yisoides of Kriya Shema. This is Parsha. There's a shocking pasuk that when Yosef met his father was too busy. I'm too busy now. I have to say Kriya Shema. How does that make sense? How can that possibly be?
We know it was now.